Copy the rise, not the result. Many people listen to those at the top talk about how they're successful now and what they do now, they're successful. But what were your actions, habits, and daily routine like before you made it when you were just starting out, Evan?
How far back are we going, man?
Literally before you had any success, when it was just a dream, when you were just thinking of starting your own company or starting your own YouTube channel, when you had no reward in sight and you were just starting, right, literally day one.
Yeah, so probably then I'm going back to university, my first business. I had to make the choice between have my dream job that I thought I wanted to be versus have 30% in a startup and make no money. And what was I doing every day? Probably a lot of the wrong things.
Like what?
I don't know. I wasn't doing bad. I wasn't like, drinking or like bad habits. Just I didn't know what to do. Like the thing that saved my business was modeling success. You look at like what was the turning point for me. I felt like I had tried everything. I had a software company, wasn't working. I was making no money. I was too embarrassed to tell my friends and my family and everybody that like I wasn't doing well. Nobody likes to, I don't know. Nobody likes to talk about how much they suck.
Yeah.
And so I was really struggling and I made it harder for myself. I'm sure my friends would have been happy to, you know, help me, but I was too embarrassed. And the thing that saved me was modeling success. So I thought that I had tried everything and I was just doing everything. What was I doing? I was doing everything I could think of. But I didn't know much, so I couldn't think of many things. But I felt like I tried everything I could think of. Like, why is this not working? And so the habit that then make the shift was, I can't be the first person to try to do this before. So whatever your goal is, whatever your dream is, whatever you want to build, somebody's done something close to it. May not be exactly it, but you've done something close to it. So go study them. Go learn how they did it. And for me, that was Bill Gates, who started Microsoft. It was the only software company I could think of that did super well. And so I said, how did he get started? And how he did it was a strategy that I hadn't tried yet in my business. And so I tried that. And then I landed my first deal for $12,500. And then I was off to the races, like finally had some money. So what habits was I doing? Maybe it's even, what did you say, from rise to result?
Copy the rise. Yeah, it was copy the rise, not the result, because we always have these amazing daily routines from these billionaires or millionaires that they're doing now. But yeah. I'm sure that 4-hour morning routine wasn't exactly what you were doing when you had no money and no reward when you were just first starting. So
yeah. So like what I was doing before the rise was just doing everything myself and trying to figure it out. Then the actual rise was by modeling success and asking for help. Shows like yours, right? Just like having something like that didn't exist when I was getting started. But I just tried to figure it all out myself instead of trying to ask for help and research and learn. So like, don't do it alone because you'll probably fail and you'll quit along the way because it's too devastatingly lonely. And so get people to help you along the way.
Yeah. And when you said you copy Bill Gates, for example, was that like reading his biographies or online articles? How did you actually model his rise as an example?
Now I do it a lot more proactively, but at that point, I just tried to research how did Bill Gates start Microsoft. It wasn't intentionally go read his biography. I just was trying to figure out how did he go from 0 to 1. And to your point, like at the time, Microsoft, I forget how many hundreds of millions and whatever revenue they had, billions. But how do you go from 0 to 1? That's what I cared the most about, not what he does now. So to your point. So how did he get started? And for him, it was partnerships. Their big deal came with Microsoft came with IBM. So IBM used to sell computers, you know, before your time. But IBM used to sell computers. They were the number one computer manufacturer in the world.
Yeah.
And they made a deal with Microsoft where every IBM shipped had Microsoft software on it. And that took Microsoft from a small company to just a huge company because now they did that partnership with the biggest computer company in the world. But Microsoft was already a $7 million company at the time. And $7 million is a lot smaller than what it is now, obviously. But it was $7 million more than what I had.
Yeah.
You know? So how did they go from 0 to 7? Like, what was that? And it was still partnerships, just on a smaller scale. So then that made me think, okay, so Microsoft grew through partnerships. And again, I don't even know if they do that anymore now. Like, it doesn't even matter now, but how did they get started? If they could grow through partnerships with their software company, maybe I can go through partnerships with my software company. And that's what led me to the path to discover my first partner. Not a business partner where like we gave up equity in a company, but through a distribution partner. And that's what led to the check. And then ever since then, it's like, okay, I don't know how to do something. Somebody's done a version of it. How can I model success?
Yeah. And you mentioned like loneliness if you don't seek out these models of success. So during the period before you started doing that and you were ashamed to talk about your lack of success to your family and friends, what was going through your mind that actually kept you going, kept you motivated to keep doing the thing, even though there was literally no reward before the rise?
I didn't want to live with regret. So how old are you now?
21.
Okay. So I am, how old am I? What year is it? I'm 45 right now. Okay. You said 21?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I was 20. So it's like pretty close. And I had the breakdown in my business where I said I quit. Like, I can't do this because I was putting all this work in and like getting no result. And I told myself, when I'm an old man at 40, I figured 40 was like, is so old. You're like falling apart, you know, you have arthritis and you can't think clearly anymore. When you're 21, you know, like 40 feels like an eternity away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I'm 40 and my life is finished, I'm going to look back on this and regret that I didn't keep going. You know, I would regret it. And I didn't want to become an old man and look back and say, man, you know, when I was 21, you know, I had this shot, I had this opportunity and I just didn't take it. I didn't want to be that guy. And so that's what motivated me to keep going, because I thought I would regret it. And I told myself I would rather know and fail than not know, you know? So like you're making this show, and if you keep going, you'll turn it into something even bigger than what it is right now. And if you quit along the way because you didn't get the guests that you wanted, or you're not getting the traction or the subscribers or the comments, and sometimes you're just making interviews and videos and feels like you're talking into a void and like, what is this even worth it, bro? Like, what am I doing right now? You know, it can feel hopeless along the way, but part of it is like, you need to get momentum to grow, and you need you need to acquire the skills to get better. And how you get the skills? Well, you put in more reps and you model success. And so I just kept telling myself I would rather know and fail than not know. And I don't want to regret this. So if I felt like I gave it everything, I tried everything and it still didn't work, okay, I could deal with that. But I couldn't deal with knowing I could have given a little more and didn't. I knew that would just haunt me. So luckily it worked out. But that's what got me through a lot of the really hard times.
Yeah. And is there an element of fear in that then? The fear of regretting, is that what that is to an extent?
Yeah. Yeah. That was not to an extent. That was the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just completely afraid that I would be old and look back on my life and regret not doing it. Like, you know, what you're doing here, doing your show, awesome. You might tell your family or people around you, hey, I'm starting this show, that you're doing a what? You did like, what are you doing, Jacob? Why don't you go get a job? Right?
Yeah.
You're like, you're 21 now, you're an adult. You should be working some job, right? That's what maybe your parents are a lot more supportive, understanding, but that's what a lot of, you know, your parents who might be in their 40s or 50s, that's what they're thinking. It's like,
yeah.
What do you mean you're gonna interview people and you're gonna make money on YouTube? And like, it sounds crazy. So it's easy to quit. It's easy to stall out, even with people who, you know, chances are your parents love you. Like, they probably do. I don't know them, but they probably love you. And for most people listening, like, your parents probably love you, but they have a different version of success. Success for them, you know, I don't know how old your parents are, but like, I'm old enough to be your dad, you know, 45. it's just a different world.
Yeah.
You know? And what's possible today wasn't possible for your parents. So it can be really hard to stay on track and keep going when the people around you don't understand what you're doing. I think the advantage now is that there's shows like yours, you know, like, if you guys are listening, watching, and you like what Jacob has to say and his guests, how many episodes do you have, Jacob?
You're 63 or 4.
Great. So there's like over 60 other episodes you can go back and listen to and watch. And if you like his questions and his style and there's anything in here that's valuable for you, chances are there's some good things that are valuable in the other 60 episodes as well that he's done before. Mm. So you can wake up every day for the next 60 days and have Jacob in your ear, right? And like that will start to shift. Like here's this guy he's in his 20s and he's taking his stab at it. Like maybe I can too, right? To surround yourself in an environment. You may not know people, you know, like if you have somebody in your family, that's awesome. But most people don't have, your parents probably aren't podcasters interviewing people.
No.
Are they?
No.
Like, yeah, my dad's Joe Rogan. Like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Right? Like, you probably don't, most people, like what we want to do, you probably don't want to do what your parents are doing.
Yeah.
Right? For most people listening. And your parents probably aren't even that happy with what they're doing either.
Yeah.
They just grew up in a different world and didn't have choices. You now have choices. And so surround yourself with the people who have either done it, you know, they've had a ton of success, or they're on their rise. Like Jacob's on his rise. He's done 60, however many episodes. Is he Joe Rogan? No, but like watch him build and grow. Right. And like, you can be inspired by somebody who was going after it. Right. And so again, if you guys like Jacob, listen to the other 60 episodes, listen to one a day. It's going to start to put you in a different headspace. And if you hate Jacob, cool. There's other people to listen to too. but that's the point. Like instead of doom scrolling on Instagram and just filling your feed and your brain with, you know, slop, like you go and you spend 2 hours on Instagram, like what just happened? Do you feel better? You know, no, you just like wasted a bunch of time. You could use that time with intention to be around people who are making you feel like your dream is possible. And give them motivation to go one more day.
Yeah, I wouldn't have started this if it wasn't for, you know, the Chris Williamsons, the Stephen Bartletts making their own shows from scratch from my country. And you're right, like there's not anyone really around me and around most people who are aligned with the new world, the new opportunities. So the best alternative is finding them online, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I call them aspirational mentors. You know, like Stephen came on my show way before he did any of the Shark Tank and all that stuff and before Dive was CEO. And so if you see someone like him do it, like, why can't you? What's the excuse? It's like, oh, well, you have to be American. Well, no, you don't. Like the biggest podcast, biggest interview show for entrepreneurs is not in America. Like what? It's just stories that we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
And so the more you can see people doing it, the more it makes you feel like it's possible for you too. And that's, we usually don't have it in our lives. And so if you don't have a direct mentor, like, hey, if Steven was mentoring you every week, yeah, you'd grow faster, right? I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would be great.
But Steven's probably not mentoring you every week. So cool. But he still can in a virtual way. You know, if you subscribe to his channel and you watch every Dive with CEO episode and like the behind the, what's the other channel? Behind the diary,
the
brand or behind the CEO or whatever. You know, if you're consuming his stuff regularly like that, that is hope and inspiration that it is possible. And if you constantly fed yourself with that versus doom scrolling through Instagram, you'll just end up in a different spot. Like a year of that will completely change your life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm actually living proof of that for sure. And from your experience, what the sacrifices every person must be willing to make if they want to be successful that maybe they wouldn't have expected when they're just starting out?
I don't know. I don't even see it through the world of sacrifices. What do you have to give up? Like to make that one shift, what are you, if you're going to stop doom scrolling through Instagram and instead watch Stephen Bartlett as inspiration, are you sacrificing anything? Like, I think as long as what are you sacrificing? You're sacrificing the safe and comfortable and known, and you're going for the thing that is your dream. I think the key thing is though, that like, what dream are you chasing? Most people are not chasing their dream. They're chasing somebody else's dream. You know, like you're chasing your dad's dream or your mom's dream or your guidance counselor's dream or your professor's dream or whatever. You're expected to do something, you know, and chances are their dream isn't your dream. And people often put their dreams on others. Like, okay, I didn't make it as a blank, but Jacob's going to do it. You know, like Jacob's going to be able to do it. He's going to fulfill my dream. No, Jacob's got his own dream that has like nothing to do with you. And that can be hard to realize that, like, oh, my dream is very different than my parents' dreams. And so I need to be able to step out and do it. But if you're doing things that are in service of your dream, like watching Diver CEO should not feel like work to you.
Mm.
What am I sacrificing to be here talking to you? This doesn't feel like work. People ask me, what's work-life balance? I don't know. Like, is talking to Jacob work? I guess. It's in my calendar, but it's not work. Mm. Now, maybe you come on and you suck and ask terrible questions and cool, then that sucks. But you're not. Like, Die Every CEO, watching that, if that fills you with hope and inspiration, then what are you sacrificing? You're sacrificing doom scrolling on Instagram. Mm. Like, what else are you doing with that time?
Mm-hmm.
So not every step along the way is amazing. Obviously, building a business, chasing your dreams, doing something difficult is difficult. But I just don't see it through the world of you have to sacrifice. I think it was the initial question. Like, what do you have to sacrifice? I don't know. You have to sacrifice your crappy habits and crappy life that you don't want anyway.
Yeah, you have to sacrifice the bad things, which isn't actually really a sacrifice, is it? It's a net gain.
Well, like,
wait, hold that thought. I'm genuinely so grateful that you've stuck around with us to listen to these fascinating insights from the guest so far. If this episode has given you one piece of knowledge which has helped you understand yourself and the world a little bit better than before, the absolute best way to support us is to pay it forward and hit the share button right now. Don't let this knowledge stay hidden. Please send it to one person who will benefit from this episode. Thank you so much. Let's dive back into the rest of the episode.
Who actually even wants to do it? Like, you ask somebody who's just doom scrolled 2 hours on Instagram, like, hey, did you love that?
Mm.
I don't know. I don't meet people with, like, that was the best. Like, okay. Like, keep doing that, I guess. Like, how do you turn that into a business or a job at least? So we fall into comfort. You know, it's the easy thing to do. So I guess you have to sacrifice that. But I don't see many people fighting for that. Like, oh, I can't wait to get on doom scroll Instagram for 2 hours tonight.
Mm. And how do we get out of that comfort trap? We mentioned listening to podcasts and stuff, but that may only go to a certain extent. You still have to have your own goals.
It's inspiration and action. So the daily inspiration, it's daily. It's like Zig Ziglar says, motivation is like brushing your teeth. You have to do it every day.
Yes.
You could talk to somebody and have the greatest time. I'm sure you do an interview, you're on fire for the rest of the day, and then you wake up tomorrow and they're like, oh, okay, I got to start all over again. So you need a daily. So whatever the thing is that gets you feeling alive, do it every day. That's why I said, hey, if you guys like Jacob's episodes, for the next 60 days, go and listen to one, watch one. If you love Stephen Bartlett, I don't know how many episodes he's got on his channel. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Start your day with that, like a 30-day challenge. You will become a different person. You start to think differently and do it first thing in the morning. There's no point getting all motivated at 11 at night and then you're going to bed soon, right? First thing in the morning, start your day with intention. And then nothing happens until you do something. You could be inspired all you want from Chris and Stephen to start a podcast. Nothing happens until you reach out to people and say, will you be on my show?
Yeah.
Right. So you have to do, but the motivation, the belief helps you get the courage to do.
Mm.
And so if you start your day with the thing that gets you all motivated, and that can be different things for different people. And then what is the action that you need to take today? And especially if you can involve somebody else, you know, I'm sure some of the people that you've had on your show, you were afraid they wouldn't see the message, they wouldn't write back, they'd look at your episodes and say, who's this guy? You know, there's all this like imposter syndrome and all of this stuff and fear and insecurity and reaching out to people. But once you hit send, okay, like maybe they say yes, like it's out of your hands that you've taken some action. Like committing to somebody else is really powerful. It's like when you want to go to the gym, you say, tomorrow I'm going to do it, and then you don't do it because it's only you. But if you commit to your friend that you're going to be there, you're way more likely to show up, right? Like I've done interviews with Matthew McConaughey and Tony Robbins and Deepak Chopra and, you know, all these big name people. And the day of, I always hope they cancel on me.
Mm.
You know, like I hope they cancel. Like, oh my God.
Why?
Because I'm afraid I'm going to ask a bad question, or it's not going to go well, or I don't want to look stupid. It's like, it's the fear. It's the fear always coming in. but I've already committed. Like, what am I going to do? Is I'm going to say, sorry, Matthew McConaughey, you know, we're off for today. Like, of course I'm going to do it because I committed to doing it. And the only thing worse than doing it is not doing it. Mm. You know, it's like Tony, the first time I had Tony on my chat, Tony Robbins, he canceled the day of his team, canceled the day of the interview. And I was stressed for 2 weeks for this interview, Jacob. Mm. Like, I was preparing and researching, and I don't know how much work you put in, you know, before for each guest, but I was so stressed out. Like, I get to talk to Tony Robbins. This is crazy. It's so awesome. And then he canceled on the day of because he had something else to do. Mm. And fair enough. Like, you know, don't hold it against him. Things happen. And he's been on, I don't know, 3 or 4 times since. But I was secretly hoping that he would cancel. And then he canceled and I felt even worse.
Mm.
Right? Like, the only thing worse than doing the show is not doing the show. I could rather fail and at least know than not know because you're too afraid. So it took 2 more years to get him to come back on the show, and then we did a couple more since, but like, fear is not a good enough reason. Hmm. So it's inspiration every day, but then you got to do one small thing every day, and that compounds.
Mm. Yeah, the moments where I've fallen off of habits or things that I cared so much about for months and months is when that one day where you accidentally miss it becomes 2, and then you blink and it's been 2 months, and I've purposely worked on the podcast every day, whether it's recording or emailing someone like you to come on or editing. The fact that I promise to myself I have to do it every day. It's the same with the gym as well. Like, I just feel like, is it, like you said, motivation resets every day. And do you think that's, would that be good advice for someone who's just starting out, was just do the thing every single day, whatever it is, and don't skip a day? And should they just continue that for the rest of their lives? Is that what you continue to do for, like, now you're 45?
I wouldn't stress out about, like, committing to something for the rest of your life, right? I think your life will change and that's fine. But, like, you make it so big, like, I am going to do this for the rest of my life. That's crazy. So don't worry about it. But yeah, some consistent daily action. So the daily inspiration, motivation, however form feels best for you, videos, podcasts, books, whatever, and then daily action. How did we do this? Did you email me? Did you Instagram me?
Yeah. Email.
And how long had you, were you thinking about emailing before you actually sent the email?
Couple weeks. Yeah.
Okay. That's not bad. Right.
But, like, it has been a couple months though.
Yeah. I don't remember why I said yes to yours and, like, not others. But there was something in what you wrote that said, okay, yeah, let's do it, Jacob. But whatever that something was, I would have said yes 2 months ago as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. So that's not to beat you up. It's just also to think going forward, hey, like, don't wait. Mm. If there's someone on your list, nobody's going to say, like, the most likely scenario is that they just ignore you. And fair enough, whatever. You follow up in a month and ask again. It's very, like, nobody's going to say, Jacob, I hate your face. Like, never message me again. You are a terrible human being, right? Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, unless your email, I guess, is absolutely terrible, but I've never seen that. You could be the first, you know, the email is so bad that that's what happens, but we wait too long. Mm, so if there's something else that's on your list, like, and me too, I waited too long on lots of things too, right? I am definitely not perfect in this regard. Mm. But if there's someone on your list that you want to connect with, there's an idea that you have, you want to record your first episode, even like, how long did you think about doing the podcast before you made your first episode?
Mm.
Right. That was a couple months. Okay. Like, shorten that to, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
My favorite thing for people who message me or, like, team, or they have a question, is like, okay, how about now? Mm. Hey, Evan, I'd love to talk. How about right now? Like, why are we waiting? We have a sales call with somebody who's like, it's next week, next Thursday. Bro, next Thursday is like, that's a decade away. Next Thursday, I'll be a different human in next Thursday. Like, how about now? Right? How about now? And if you could just train yourself, because that cuts through a lot of the fear. If you just default to now,
mm.
you'll make way more progress. You'll be way less scared. And you start to build more belief that you are an action taker. Because every time you wait, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. I'll do it on my birthday. I'll do it on January 1st. I'll do it when Halloween is over. I'll do it, like, whatever justification we come up with of why we can't wait. You're building the identity of you are somebody who is scared and procrastinates.
Mm.
And so we want to cut that out as quickly as possible. So, like, how about right now? How about you do something right now? So if you're listening to this episode, you get inspired, I said something, Jacob said something that inspires you. Okay, like, how about right now? How about you do something right now? How about you make your first video right now? How about you send that email off inviting somebody to your show right now? Just do it right now. Press send.
Right now. Right this second.
Yeah, right now. How about right now? Your life will change if you just do it right now.
It's proof, isn't it? It's building proof.
Yeah, it's like, I think the ideas that come to you when you're feeling bold are the right ones for you. So if you're listening to Steven or Chris or me or like whoever, you're listening to something and you get this bold idea, that's actually the right thing for you.
Mm.
And then your brain talks you down from it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I got it. Yeah, yeah, but I can't do that podcast because like and all of these, it'll be smart reasons. You're a smart person, so you figure out smart reasons why you can't do something. You're not going to believe a stupid reason, right? Like today's National Hippo Day. Like you're not going to believe that. It's a stupid reason. You'll find some really smart reason why you need to procrastinate.
Mm-mm.
And so your brain talks you down from the actual ideas that you should be working on. So I think the ideas that come to you when you're feeling bold are the right ones for you. And the best thing you do is take immediate action while you're feeling a little bit of boldness. You're borrowing belief from Steven, from Chris, from me, from whoever, your other guests. You're borrowing a little bit of belief from them. Okay, so while you have that belief, do something about it. Because tomorrow your brain's going to talk you down and give you really smart reasons why you can't do it. But all that really happened is you stay stuck.
Exactly. Evan Carmichael, ladies and gentlemen. Evan, you're the best. Thank you so much for this. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for the love, man. How many episodes do you, like, what's your content release schedule?
It's twice a week, Monday, Fridays, and then like clips in between.
Twice a week. And is that what you're going to keep doing?
I want to go to three.
Three a week.
Yeah. So okay. One more per week.
So when you get to episode 200.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Awesome.
I'm episode 200. I can't wait.
Write it down. Awesome. All thanks, right. Evan.
Thanks, Jacob.
Great to meet you. Cheers. Take care. If you've made it this far, you're likely not just a listener. You're ready to be the host. You felt that sense of intimacy and connection with our guest today, and you would like to get the same on your own show and start your own dream show. But you're worried about landing dream guests and all the complications and the mess that is often spoken about when starting your own podcast from scratch. You think starting a podcast requires a huge budget and a whole team, right? That is absolute nonsense. My Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint is the ultimate key to skipping the outdated advice and building a high quality, high impact show, even for under $100. It provides the proven strategies and AI templates that I use to this day that you will be able to use to reclaim your time and creative control. And this is a strictly limited opportunity. Don't dilly-dally because there's limited spaces. We've already got one student, Rob, who's joined. That means there's only a couple more spaces to get the Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint course half price. And you need to act very, very fast because this is a limited offer and you're very, very early. So if you want to get the early bird discount like Rob has and get the results by watching the course that goes through the exact step-by-step blueprint that I use to this day to create these episodes that you've just watched and get the success and become Europe's fastest growing under 21 podcaster, and also join live weekly calls with me and use the AI templates and email templates that I use every single day to get the results and just get all my secrets without getting any of the mistakes and failures that I've made, then top link in the description is for you. And if you're ready to launch your own show and get personalized one-to-one help from me and copy my blueprint, which no other podcaster has shared, then I'll see you there. I'm rooting for you. Goodbye. Hope you enjoyed the episode too.